just prepping you for surgery.
The playoffs are here. The Sage of Tampa Bay Sports is here. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast. All the fun is presented by Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. GM Sean Sullivan, host of the Best in Class Podcast. He is ready to serve you and help you. He's buying vehicles, paying top dollar. It is a great time to order a vehicle. And Bill Curry Ford is the giant. A mile north of Raymond James Stadium, 61 years, nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. They are incredibly charitable in the community. Bill Curry Ford, that is where you want to start your vehicle shopping search. Sean's going to help you personally. GM Sean Sullivan, personal service, Bucks fan service, Bill Curry Ford. Thank you, Bill Curry Ford. Iris drives his 2020 cherry red Ford Escape. He owns it now. He loved it so much on the lease that he's got it. We are all Bill Curry Ford customers here on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucks Fan is here. The Big Storm beer is cracked. And Ira, how are you?
This is what it's all about, boys. Yeah, we're braving the wind. We're braving the rain. I don't care if it's snowing out. We're showing up. We are going because this is the real season. You know, Steve, I was on a Zoom call with Tom Brady today. And when it was finally my turn to ask a question, I brought up the fact that the guy is 34-11 in the postseason. 34-11. That's about a 75% winning percentage. Nobody's ever seen that in the playoffs. And Brady said he was unaware of it, Steve. Oh, is that true? That's interesting. 34-11. Well, all I'm thinking about is being 35-11. Lee, I'll say it again. The reason that the Bucks, I think, are going to advance to the Elite Eight next weekend, and perhaps further than that, is because of Mr. Brady, and only Mr. Brady. It's not because of Anthony Nelson. It's not because of Carlton Davis. It's not because of Leonard Fournette. It's because of Tom Brady, who I must say, I ended up voting for league MVP. He got my vote. I thought it was tight between him and Rodgers. For me, the deciding factor, Brady's leadership. It's an intangible, tough to put a handle on it. I just think he raises the play of everybody around him. He's my quarterback on the All-Pro team. He's my MVP. I voted for Tristan Wirfs again as the best right tackle in football. And I think Buck fans are feeling pretty good right now because they're reading the injury reports, and it sounds like the right guys are coming back. Not a bad time to be a Buck fan, Mr. DeCamper.
Well, yeah, I mean, a home playoff game, it happens, what, once every how many years? You know, it's like a comet, like Halley's Comet or something, it seems like. It's
and they were 7-1 at home this year, 7-1.
Yeah, that ugly loss to the Saints. The MVP award, you know, if I would have voted, I probably would have leaned Cooper Kupp because I'm a production kind of guy. That guy got production week after week after week after week after week. And you know defenses, when they set up a game plan, number one on the whiteboard was stopping Cooper Kupp, and nobody could. To me, that's excellence, week after week. Well, then, last weekend came, Rams lost. Jonathan Taylor, I was never that sold on Jonathan Taylor, impressed with what he did, never that impressed because, well, the Bucs stopped him, so teams did stop him.
I hear your points, Lee. Now, Steve, to be fair to Cooper Kupp, Steve, I named him my offensive player of the year. He might have been the best player in football this year, regardless of position. Steve, you can't fault Cooper Kupp for the Rams not being able to hold a lead on the 49ers. He played his ass off last week against San Francisco. They didn't stop him either. So I can't hold that against Cooper Kupp. But, Steve, you know and I know he's got no chance. If he gets one or two votes, that's a hell of a victory for Cooper Kupp. And I'll say this, and Buck Nation isn't going to want to hear it. Aaron Rodgers is going to win the MVP, and it may not even be close. But I voted for Brady.
Here's what sold it for me on Brady. To your point, you said you voted for him because of leadership. Ron Borges, your buddy, with what is that, Talk of Fame now, he made this point. This knocked it out of the park for me. Virtually any other quarterback or any other team would have melted down because of what Antonio Brown did. With the Bucks, it was like, turn the page, it's over, it's history, it almost never happened. And why is that? Brady.
Interesting. You know, Steve, last thing on the subject. Unlike Hubbarkish, Steve, my vote is not an anti-Rodgers vote. It's not anti-Rodgers. The guy is fabulous. Nobody throws a better football. He never throws an interception, basically. You can't argue with what the guy did, and for most of the year, you could say that Brady had better weapons when Chris Godwin was in the lineup. You could. So it's not anti-Rodgers, Steve. You know, watching Brady every week, and we didn't watch Rodgers every week like that, but we saw Brady hold this team together through the ups and downs, a flurry of injuries from the midseason on the offense. And he had one of his great years, Steve. So Brady's my MVP, but he's not going to win it, Steve. But the important thing to remember is it's a regular season award. And if Brady gets the Super Bowl MVP, he's not going to care about the regular season MVP.
No.
Ira, did Derrick Henry pretty much have that award locked up until he got hurt? I'm thinking he did.
By the way, I voted for Vrabel, and I think he's going to win coach. So, you know, I got $2 on the All-Pro team. I feel good about it. I love watching Wirfs like you guys do. The guy's never out of position. He's never off balance. What a player. What a player, Steve.
I agree with you that Brady won't win. There's too much Brady fatigue out there. The people who just look at the numbers are going to look at Rodgers' numbers and think they're better because he missed a couple of games. And the last one, obviously, was rested. And, that the interception-touchdown ratio is mind-boggling for anybody who stares at it long enough. And I think people get seduced by that. But there's a lot of Brady fatigue. I would have voted for Taylor if the Colts didn't lose the last two games, just strictly on the fact that he would have literally put the team on his back with triple the touches of Cooper Kupp. I mean, you got to touch the football if you're going to be MVP. So that's why I always lean more toward a running back versus a receiver. But anyway, Sage, look, you mentioned all pros and superstars. And one guy you voted for all pro on your ballot, which is at joebucksfan.com, is Eagles center Jason Kelce, who repeatedly is an all pro. And I think a huge piece of this game coming up on Sunday is Jason Kelce against Vita Vea. Will the Eagles have to double team Vea? If they can get away with single blocking Vea, then that changes the whole Bucs defense in a lot of ways. And Vea doesn't usually play more than half the snaps. Well, Kelce plays every snap. So how is that going to factor in? And will the Bucs ramp up the snaps of Vea and Sue, who, you know, hover around 60% all season? Last year they played more in the playoffs. I think it'll happen here. Vea, it's easy to forget, but he had that MCL tear in his knee and came back pretty quick this year. Nobody really knows if he's 100%. But I'm looking at that matchup, Ira. What do you think of that?
I think that's a great game within the game, Steve. Kelce's a perennial Pro Bowler. I think he was the best center in the league this year. Lee, they run the ball very well, and they run it very often, Lee. But, Lee, in the first half of that game in Philly against the Bucs, week 6, the Eagles had 73 yards of offense. Lee, they had 5 first downs in the first half. They did nothing. The Bucs did a fabulous job containing Hurts in the first half of that game. They're up 21-7, Lee. Then they scored early in the third quarter. They went up 28-7. And, Lee, I think they took their foot off the gas.
I kind of think you're right.
And Philly scored 2 touchdowns. And, Steve, if you remember, the Bucs got the ball back with about 6 minutes left, and Philly never got the ball back. That was a great drive by Brady. They never got the ball back. Who knows what would have happened? Steve, I'm hearing a lot. You know, of course, Brady says it. Arian says it. What else are they going to say? Eagles have all these weapons. They got weapons everywhere. I don't buy it, Steve. I don't buy it. I mean, I'm looking at the wide receivers. I don't see Cooper Kupp over here. I don't see Devontae Adams. Am I missing something? They got a pretty good tight end who's good enough that they could afford to trade Zach Ertz, who was a Pro Bowler. And this guy Goddard, he didn't play against the Bucs in week 6. So he could be a problem. But, Steve, I don't see where Ertz is surrounded by all these weapons. I think JPP will help with the run defense. I'm taking him out on 3rd and 7, but I think he'll help with the run defense. I think Levante David, I think his participation in this game is immeasurable. I don't think you can overstate it, because for whatever crazy reason, Devin White plays better when Lavonte David's in the line.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about it. I even went so far as to say that I thought Devin White was lost without Lavonte David. He's been so invisible lately. And by the way, that Philadelphia game, real quick earlier, he was asked about Vita Vea. Vita Vea broke through a couple double teams, I remember, and flushed out Hurts one time, and another time got Hurts to get rid of the ball early. Devin White against the Eagles, Jason Kelce owned him. Whenever Kelce went to the second level, he owned Devin White. I saw a video from Brian Baldinger. I've been holding on to it for a couple days. He worked him over, Kelce did, on Devin White. It was sad to see. Devin White's got to pick it up. It's that simple. You're asking about the weapons that the Eagles have? They got a pretty good rookie wide receiver, although, as Steve wrote, he may have hit the wall. He's a really good wide receiver. But who's the guy from TCU? I want to say Dalen, not Darden, but Dalen. I can't remember. He was like a first-round pick. He's horrible. He's absolutely horrible. He's got like 240 receiving yards, and the Eagles fans can't stand him for a good reason. He's terrible.
Steve, here's something to think about. The fact that Lavonte David's back on the field, if he is, Steve, on Sunday at 1 o'clock, Steve, there's no guarantee he's going to be 100%. There's no guarantee. In fact, if he's 100%, it'd be very surprising. Of course, you could say nobody's 100% this late in the year, but you know what I mean. But, he'll still be better than Minter. Steve, his health is very important going forward. I'm not worried about the Eagles' passing game. Steve, I'm just not.
The Eagles have gotten a lot better, but they've only beaten one winning team all year. That was the Saints with Trevor Siemian. So they really aren't tested in any kind of way. Young team. And one of the more interesting things, Ira, I was reading a stat. They are second in the NFC in third down conversions. The Eagles. The Bucs are number one. Big surprise. But the Eagles are a very close second. And on third down, they run more than they pass on third down. Which, I mean, it's almost unthinkable as a Bucs fan what we've witnessed with this, no risk it, no biscuit kind of offense, and Dirk Cutter winging the ball around. And to think that a team would run more often on third down for conversions is mind-boggling. But that's kind of how
You know what that tells me? That they're very good at running the ball on first down. That's what it tells me.
Yeah.
Because, if you're going to be second in the league in conversions, unless you're the Bucs with all those weapons during most of the season, it's going to be third and two rather than third and six. And you can run on third and two, which is what they do, Lee. So first down, I believe, is the critical down for the Buck defense on Sunday. If they're consistently getting 4, 5, 6 yards, Lee, it could be an interesting afternoon.
Hey, Ira, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to call out Sean Sullivan a little bit, GM of Bill Curry Ford, because he floated a theory on his podcast, Ira, and I've heard this from other people. And I don't buy it for a second, but I have to know if the Sage buys it. I got to know if you're buying what Sean is selling when it's not a 2020 cherry red Ford Escape. Ira, Sean is selling on his podcast that Devin White is tired, He's played a lot of games, and he's worn out, and he's fatigued. I just don't buy this whole line of the fatigue angle. White got a couple of games off last year. We can talk about how the Bucs played more games than any other team. They played more than the Chiefs. The Chiefs had a first-round bye. The Bucs did not. But Devin White missed a few games last year. So how does that add up to a big total of games? And he's 23 years old, and he's been banged up this season. But Bruce Arians swears he's healthy. Dave Moore is on the radio saying, look, the problem with Devin White is simple, and nobody boils it down like Dave Moore does. He's like, well, JPP and Shaq aren't there to set the edges on the run game, and White's being forced out wide, and tight ends and wide receivers are blocking him, and that's the problem. Which I'm like, what the hell? Tight ends and wide receivers blocking Devin White. I don't buy that he's tired. I don't know what's going on, but I can't buy the fatigue angle. Do you buy it, Ira?
Lee, with all due respect to Sean Sullivan, who we love, and I love dealing with him when I bought my cherry red Ford Escape. If you want to argue that Devin White's playing through an injury, which the Bucs don't want to acknowledge, and I would understand that. And I would understand Bruce Arians declaring him healthy. Why are you going to tell another team what's going on with Devin White if that's the case? Lee, I would buy that. He's playing through an injury. He's sucking it up. The fatigue angle, Lee. The guy's 23, Lee. Remember when you were 23, the Kemper? And you didn't even need a Gatorade. Lee, is Isbitz trying to throw in how much Devin White played in January of 2021? I mean, we're a year later. His legs haven't recovered? Come on, Lee, what's going on here? I don't care how many games Devin White played last season. He had a whole offseason to recover. Come on. I'm not buying this fatigue thing. He just doesn't look like the same player. Shaq Barrett's been there most of the year. I don't want to hear about Shaq Barrett or the absence thereof. And if his play is going to diminish that much without JPP being in the lineup, I mean, what's that say about Devin White? He's supposed to be the driving force over here, not playing off another guy.
I hate to say, you know, the lack of Lavonte David is exposing him. You know, it very well could be he's trying to do too much. It very well, you know, this is very similar to earlier in the year when Lavonte David had a sprained ankle and the Bucks had some cornerbacks injured. And I vividly remember, we've mentioned this many times, I vividly remember asking Todd Bowles right to his face, is White's play slacking off because you're asking him to do different things, and he's just got to cover more real estate, cover more for more people, and Bowles did not deny that. So we could be looking at the very same thing.
Sage, playoff Lenny, coming in off a hamstring. They say he's fine, but until he pushes it, until he tests it, they really don't know. And the Bucks could be rolling with Keyshawn Vaughn and Le'Veon Bell on Sunday, and possibly for the playoffs. I mean, it's a hamstring, and you just don't know until you test it. And Ronald Jones is out. So are you confident if the Bucks have to go to war here in the playoffs with Keyshawn Vaughn and Le'Veon Bell?
Well, I think Bell can do a nice fill-in job, Lee, as a target out of the backfield.
Yes,
very good. And I think he's still effective in that role. But Lee, he's not going to break tackles like Fournette has done for more than a year. Lee, I mean, starting with December 2020, the guy's been one of the best backs in the National Football League. I mean, that's a fact. And he was having a terrific season this year and showed off his hands to a degree that I was a little surprised at. Yeah, they would miss him, Lee. Keyshawn Vaughn, say what you want. He's unproven, especially in a big game. Fournette's proven himself under pressure situations. I remember Fournette, Lee. I don't know if you remember the game, but against New England, in that game that Jacksonville probably should have won, that playoff game, I think Fournette had a big game that day. So his postseason pedigree is established. And I don't trust Bell given 12 carries that he's going to get 63 yards. Yeah, they're going to miss him, Lee, if he's not ready. And again, like David, just the fact that he's in the lineup, Lee, doesn't mean he's back to his old effectiveness. So it's a little dicey. I still think they'll be able to get by this week. Going forward, it's going to become more and more important to have Fournette.
Here's one for you, Ira. I heard this on NFL Network this afternoon. Sarah Walsh, who I know you know her, and I wasn't aware of this. And it blew me away when I heard it, and I had to do the research on it. Sure enough, she's right. Well, very close to right. She reported that whenever Fournette gets 50 yards or more, the Bucs are undefeated. And I looked it up, and she was a hair off. Anytime Fournette gets 49 yards or more, the Bucs are undefeated.
Maybe she meant 50 yards from scrimmage, including receiving, maybe.
Just looking at yards rushing. And right, every game that he had 49 yards or more rushing, the Bucks have won.
Including the postseason. Including the postseason.
Yes.
Yep. What are you going to say about Fournette? He's been terrific.
And to back that up, Ivor, to your point about Fournette in the postseason, every game Fournette has played in the postseason but one, and he had 50 or more yards, they've won. The one loss is the one you're referring to, is when Jacksonville choked at New England a couple years ago in the AFC Championship game.
Hey, Ira, we watched Mike Evans bust the 1,000-yard mark, but more importantly, we watched him just run like an animal. He didn't look like anybody who was hurt, or he showed no signs of any sort of weakness, any sign of favoring anything. He was running really hard. He had a tremendously physical game. So I'm going to say he's 100%, Ira. And if he's 100% like he is in his prime, much better chemistry this year, I think, with Brady. Are you expecting Evans, as we enter the postseason here, to basically put the team on his back? I mean, he wasn't a superstar postseason performer last year. He caught some key passes, but he was not, hey, you remember Mike Evans in the 2020 playoffs? It was nothing like that, and I think they may need him to do that in order to win. What do you think?
You know, Lee, the more you think about Mike Evans, the arc of his career came in 2014. Some people thought he was a product of Johnny Manziel. Lee, it turned out it might be the other way around at A&M. Superstar, interesting, Lee, interesting. He's never been great at yards after the catch, but he's great at reaching the end zone. Superlative. I don't have the stats in front of me. Steve, it's got to be like the fifth time in his career he's got double-digit touchdowns. I would think maybe four or five times. Look at a guy like Julio Jones, Lee, first ballot Hall of Famer. He has trouble reaching the end zone a lot of seasons, even when he was catching 100 balls. Evans isn't like that. What he does is he does exceptionally well. In the red zone, he's an animal. He's a first down machine. I believe he led the league in receiving first downs 1 year. The guy is on a Hall of Fame trajectory. What are we going to say, Lee? I mean, suppose he ends up with 12 straight 1,000-yard seasons. I mean, he could. I think he's going to play another 5 years. He's not old. And, you know, Brady, we figure he's coming back. And you throw this extra thing on top of everything. Lee and Arian said it the other day. And we can't believe everything Arian says, Lee, because he's a head coach. And we know how head coaches are. But here's something he said that I really do believe was genuine from Arian's standpoint. Lee, remember when he started praising Mike Evans? I don't even know if anybody asked him a question about Mike Evans. He just kept talking about him. And he said how unselfish he's been, particularly this season. Lee, who's the guy who went over to Antonio Brown and tried to calm him down, Lee?
Oh, yeah.
Mike Evans.
The only guy.
Wait a minute. Ira, you sure he didn't just ask him for a jersey?
Sign the jersey before you run off.
You know, look, Godwin has a great attitude, but, you know, Evans is the clubhouse leader in terms of being the anti-diva. It's so rare at that position. It's so rare. And Evans never has it. He's never had it, even from, you know, that first rookie season. He gets his. He's happy. He doesn't get his. The team wins. He's happy. I mean, what a pleasure for a franchise that's been through Keyshawn Johnson, Antonio Brown, and some guys in between. Mike Evans is... What a draft pick in 2014. What a draft pick.
Before you get going there, Ira, about Keyshawn, and I got into it with one of our readers, our commenters on JoeBucksFan.com. He called Keyshawn Johnson a cancer. I'm like, whoa, hold up. They won a Super Bowl with the guy. They were in the playoffs every year with the guy but 1 year when they were defending the Super Bowl, and him and Gruden got into it. How much of a cancer was he? The team was winning. He was producing. I know he was a flamboyant guy, but yeah, he was the cancer like a certain former Redskins wide receiver the Bucks signed as a free agent. Cough, cough. You know who I'm referring to. So I don't see how Keyshawn, this guy was saying he's a cancer. I guess that guy's definition of cancer is far different from mine. And real quick about Mike Evans. Well, first off, Evans got 1,000 yards his rookie season with Josh McCown.
That's all you need to know, Lee.
And all you need to know, Ira, when you have a disaster is floridaselite restoration.com. floridaselite restoration.com. That's the online home of the best restoration company in the Bay Area. If you have a flood, fire, you find mold in your home or your place of business, whatever it might be, if that home disaster strikes, you call Florida's Elite Restoration before you call your insurance company so they can give you a free assessment at your property to determine what's going on and make sure you don't get ripped off. Owner Josh Martin has spent 14 years as an insurance adjuster. Now he's on the other side helping clients, homeowners, businesses, And specifically businesses like property managers and plumbers, air conditioning contractors, builders. You know, you have to take care of your clients when you find a disaster in their home, and you need to connect with Florida's Elite Restoration. Call Josh Martin, floridaselite-restoration.com. He will sit down with you and show you how they service all kinds of businesses across the Bay Area and provide what you need for your clients to take the best care of them. They're honest. floridaselite-restoration.com. Don't forget it, Ira. Don't forget it. floridaselite-restoration.com. Sage, since you're all in your Hall of Fame mode these days, as in the final hours of your Ronde Barber preparation, and of course we wish you great luck, and we know you won't need it because you're ready. You're like the Bucks, ready for the opening day of the playoffs. Mike Evans, Ira, he now has 75 touchdowns in 122 games. That ties Evans for 36th on the all-time list. And if he just gets 10 touchdowns, Ira, next year, 10, he could be tied for 16th on the all-time receiving touchdowns list. How about that?
Wow. Wow. That's outstanding, Steve. You know, guys, while Steve mentioned the Hall of Fame, I want to take a minute or two to say this because might be the last time we're talking before next Tuesday, the 18th. 49 selectors around a table, including Tony Dungy, Bill Polian, Lisa Salters, Dan Fouts, James Lofton, and a bunch of craggy journalists, Lee, sitting around a table. Now, we used to be around a table. Now we're around a Zoom call. They informed me the other day that I have 5 minutes, 5 minutes, to present a 15-year career of one Ronde Barber. Now, supposedly everybody's got 5 minutes for their candidate. Some guys are going to take 10. I'm going to take 6 or 7 and see if they bleep me off the screen after 6 or 7 minutes. Quick story, guys, that you haven't heard. I was talking to Mr. Brooks, and you guys know that, you know, just because Derek Brooks got in Canton in 2014, he has spent a lot of time working with me to get guys that wore a pewter also to get their gold jacket, like Coach Dungy, John Lynch, and now Ronde Barber.
So it's Brooks' fault.
So I said, you know, I had this quote from Andy Reid, and I had this good quote from Kurt Warner, and I wanted to get a player, you know. And so I asked Derek, you know, hey, who's a good receiver? He said, Chris Carter, played against Ronde a lot, Hall of Fame receiver. I said, you got his number? Now I'll get it. Well, not only did Brooks get the number and send it to me, but when he called Carter and told him that I would be calling him, Carter said, hey, how can I help? How can I help with Ronde? So Brooks preps the guy like a nurse prepping you for surgery. And Brooks told Carter what I was looking for. And I get on the phone, and Carter picks it up. And I said, hey, make the case for Ronde Barber as a Hall of Famer. And I'll tell you what he said, guys. I'll tell you what he said. The first thing he said, Lee, was, and I couldn't script it any better, 99% of the people in the world that are walking around with gold jackets played in a system. What are you going to do? Hold it against Ronde Barber that he played in a system that he didn't even devise, but he perfected? If you're going to use that, the only guys in Canton will be Barry Sanders and Lawrence Taylor. That's it.
Wow.
That's what... quote me, because I'm expecting these clowns to say zone corner, zone corner. I don't want to hear it. And Chris Carter says, I played in a system. We all did. If you're playing a West Coast offense as a receiver, you're not going to average 18 yards a catch. That's just the way it is. Don't discredit Ronde Barber for playing in a system that he mastered. So I've lined some people up, guys, to talk after me, which was a big help with John Lynch last year. If you hear silence, Lee, after your presentation, that's trouble. That's trouble.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you got silence. Unless you're presenting Peyton Manning, you might get silence. If you're presenting a guy that's not a slam dunk, and I'm sorry, Buck Nation, Ronde Barber is not considered a slam dunk by 48 other selectors. He's not. He didn't make the top 10 last year. That tells you. So anyway, I'll give it my best shot. It's not a great class. There's no Randy Moss in this class as a first-year guy. DeMarcus Ware is the top guy in that group. So we shall see, gentlemen. I thought what was interesting was there was a show last week where Jim Trotter was talking about Leroy Butler and Rondé Barber. And the first thing he was trying to say is, well, Leroy Butler's been waiting longer, and if two guys are close, I'll give it to the guy that's been waiting longer. Well, here's my answer. Who says you can't put both of them in? Why is it one or the other? I mean, so I might have to make that argument, but next Tuesday, wish me luck, gentlemen, because I'm going all out for number 20.
Ira, Brashad Perriman. Brashad Perriman versus Cyril Grayson. Is this... I view it as a blessing in disguise that Grayson has an injury here. Not rooting for the guy to be injured, but I think Perriman is more valuable, more versatile, more experienced, and a better fit overall. What do you say?
I can't believe I ever agree with you on anything, Isbitz, but you are correct. I trust Perriman more. Look, Grayson made a great catch. You know, he did against the Jets. It was also a great throw by Brady.
Oh, beautiful.
Beautiful throw. Beautiful throw. For those, Lee, that still question Brady's arm strength, you few saps out there that still think his arm strength's diminished markedly. But, yeah, Steve, you're right. I'd rather have Perriman any day. Lee, I think one of the great developments in the last couple of weeks from a Buck perspective, and we talked about it, Lee, a month ago. Hey, what's going on with Gronkowski? He's looking his age. He's looking beat up. What's going on? There's no production. Well, Lee, maybe he hurt us. Boy, if I was the Eagles right now, Lee, on defense, I'm really focusing on Gronkowski over the middle. I got to take that pass away. I'll take my chances maybe with deep balls to Evans down the sideline. But without Godwin in that lineup, Gronkowski owns the middle of that field, and he could really hurt the Eagles.
If I recall correctly, Gronkowski didn't play against the Eagles.
I believe you're right. That's right.
Sage, are you expecting the Bucs to dominate, to flip a switch and just start cruising through these next games, looking like a team we haven't seen for a while? Or do you expect them to sort of, I hate to use the word struggle for a team that's 13-4, but they've been kind of struggling to get their wins and, you know, scratching and clawing and not playing 60 minutes of football. They've cleaned up their game quite a bit, penalties and things like that. But what do you expect from this team in the playoffs? If they go all the way, are you expecting to see the team we saw late last year, or do you think this is going to be a different kind of path?
Well, Steve, you know what's interesting? Until the Super Bowl, Lee, the three-game run-up to the Super Bowl, the Bucs were not dominant, Lee. They weren't dominant. They won the games. They deserved to win. But they didn't dominate until they played the Chiefs, and they dominated. No question about it. So in that regard, I'm not looking for the Bucs to win 38-10. The Eagles are 9-8, Lee. I know they rested their players in the last game. But they were 9-8. You know, they're okay. They're okay. They got an identity. They're physical. They like to run the ball. They have an identity. They know what they are. But to me, it's a good matchup for the Bucs. Are the Bucs going to dominate from start to finish? Well, Lee, if the Bucs get off to a big lead, I think the Eagles are probably going to be done. I don't know how patient Hurts. I don't know how patient Hurts will be, and I think the Bucs' focus is going to be markedly better than it was in Philly Week 6 when they let them get back into the game. This is the playoffs. You get a 27 lead. You step on their throat. So I would be very surprised, Lee, if the Bucs trip up against the Eagles on Sunday.
Well, it's the big question mark for me has been the biggest question mark for the Bucs, actually since the very first game, injuries. All these guys coming back, will they be close enough to 100% to be effective? Will anybody else get hurt? I can't say I'm in the boat that it's a blessing in disguise. It's still Grayson, maybe more hurt than Perriman. Perriman, by the way, also has an injury. I thought Grayson was coming along beautifully, you know, much better than expected. And Perriman kind of has a case of the dropsies, kind of. So I let Bowers be, and so far, Grayson does not. Now, you know, playoffs are a different animal. I don't believe, has Perriman ever played in the playoffs? But to me, that's the biggest question mark. If the Bucks stay injury-free, if the guys who are coming back from injury are close enough to 100% to generally do their job, the Bucks should win.
All right, how are we going to wrap up, Stevie? What do we got?
The last thing I got to ask you is, Ira, because people want your perspective, Sage, anything this week, Lee, you as well, anything this week that really sort of grabbed you from these boring press conferences as the Bucks lead up to the Eagles here? Anything just sort of catch your eye and then give you some insight that maybe we're not seeing?
What struck me, Lee, and that was with Leftwich followed by Bowles. Lee, there's a chance, and not an obscure chance. There's a chance that both of those guys are leaving the organization. If I was a betting man, I'd say at least one of those guys won't be here next year. At least one. I don't know which one is ahead. I think Leftwich might be ahead of Bowles in a certain regard, because Leftwich hasn't had his chance yet. Now, you could say nobody could win with the Jets, but Bowles did have a chance and had a good first season. Anyway, Lee, that's what struck me is if Brady comes back, then I think Arians will come back. Even if he loses one or two coordinators, he'll replace them. But it'll be a feather in Arians' cap, and as much as he would miss, especially Bowles, he would be such a proud, papa in that regard, Lee, that his guys, in Bowles' case, get us a second chance, or Leftwich gets a first chance. It would really make Arians' day if that happened, Lee.
Oh, I'm sure it would. No one has told me this. I'm not even reading tea leaves. It's just a hunch that I have that for Bowles to take a job, it's going to have to knock his socks off. And the reason why I say that is I just have a hunch. There's something worked out behind the scenes with Bowles and the Glazers. Like, hey, if Arians ever retires, well, he will retire. Probably like you say, Ira, probably the same time that Brady retires. And, you're the coach in waiting. You got a job with us. You got a head coaching job here. And I remember when Bowles signed an extension, and I think it was the springtime or the summer. And Bowles spoke at a press conference shortly thereafter, and he just kept saying how much he liked it in Tampa Bay, and he enjoyed, coaching with the Bucks and enjoyed the area. So I don't know how much that is because of his kids. These guys, I think one kid's still going to school at Jesuit. I don't know how much of that is because of his kids. He doesn't want to uproot his family again. Well, his kids are close to graduation. One of them is in college. And this is what I believe. No one's told me this. I just have a hunch that the Glazers have a handshake deal with Bowles. That when Arians retires, if he wants it, the job is his.
If there's a handshake deal, I think it would much more be with Bowles than Leftwich with the Glazers. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Why, you think Leftwich doesn't wash his hands? What are you trying to say?
No, they might be turning, after Arians, they might want a defensive coach. I think Bowles' step is a little higher than Leftwich, a little higher, because there's always that nagging thing, how much is Leftwich really responsible for? I believe Arians at this point. I think Leftwich is the guy that's communicating all the time with Brady. Leftwich said it again today. Constant contact with Brady, good relationship. But I think Lee's on to something there with that Bowles angle.
I'm going to go the other way, Ira, because I think that if the Bucks, if we're creating, hypothetical handshake deals, I think Arians would love to stay involved. He said that before. If he walks away, he'd love to, he'd love to stay involved a little bit in some way. And if Bowles is the head coach, I don't think Arians is going to be involved at all, because Todd's his own guy. He's done it before. He doesn't need head coach mentoring, and he's a defensive guy, and he'll have his own offensive coordinator who probably has nothing to do with Arians. But if Leftwich takes the job, he's a first-time head coach. Arians can come in as the mentor, and he is an offensive guy and can talk about the offense with Leftwich and help out a little bit. And obviously Leftwich will be running something very similar to Arians' offense. I just think Leftwich becomes a way to keep Arians around, which I think the Glazers would love to do from a marketing standpoint, figurehead, have some fun with them and make some money with them. And I don't know. I just look at it that way.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you about Arians. I agree with the angle wholeheartedly. And part of the reason why I agree with you, we've heard Arians say recently, has said it several times, he used to hate the draft. Now he loves the draft. He loves the prep work. He loves studying younger players. And I think that gives him a way to still be involved, still be active when he's retired. And he doesn't have to go cold turkey from football. That 20, 30 hours a week, he could be studying film of college players, which you could do that in Antarctica. You don't have to be in Tampa. And so I agree with you with that respect, that he could still have his hand involved in personnel.
Steve, I wonder if Arians' future is quasi-coaching or in personnel. Steve, I'm a little unsure about that. What his preference is.
I don't know. He's just going 1 year at a time. I don't even think he's going to retire, so I think it's moot. But, you know, I think he wants to ride this as long as he can because, Ira, I think he wants to be in the Hall of Fame. You've talked to him. You've spent time at his house. You know that he's into the history of the game, and he respects it, and you know he wants that appreciation that it took him so long to get as a guy who didn't get a head coaching job till he was in his 60s. So, you know, right now his winning percentage is better than Andy Reid, better than Sean Payton, better than Bill Walsh, John Harbaugh, Cowher.
Wow.
You know, so he's up there. If he can ride this a little longer, I mean, he's already got more wins than Jimmy Johnson. So, I mean, he can make a case for himself.
I'll say it again, though, Lee. It might sound a little harsh. I don't see Arians sticking around to coach Kyle Trask. I don't see it. I don't see that.
No, I think when Arians is time to, for him to coach Kyle Trask, he'll fail that physical that he gets every year. He'll find a way to fail, at least on the blood pressure front. All right, Sage, look, get out of here. All right, thanks for listening to the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports. We've got another podcast coming back Saturday with a little bit deeper stuff on the game itself for Sunday, as well as reviewing a fun review of Ira's 18 predictions for the 2021 season. We'll see if we can embarrass the Sage a little bit. Our thanks to Bill Curry Ford, GM Sean Sullivan. Thank you for all your support. Talk to Sean, email him if you have any questions at all, want any kind of help directly, and the Ira Kaufman discount at Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Stock up on Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. It's in Publix, BigStormBrewery.com, and Florida's Elite Restoration. That's your first phone call anytime you have a disaster in your home, mold, fire, wind damage, flood, Florida's Elite Restoration.com.